Welcome to this podcast by The Rocks Church. We hope you find it challenging and inspiring. For more information, visit therocks.church.
Good morning, everybody. How are we all doing this morning? Are we good? Oh, come on. You can do better than that. Are we good this morning? That's more like it. I knew there was more energy in here. Well, welcome to The Rocks. It's so great to see you here this morning. And like Gabriel said right at the first, if this is your first time, we want to say a very, very special welcome to you. And can I just say, how beautiful was that moment right there? Baptism, Danny getting baptized, that's incredible. And I was like so close to tears, and I was like, hold it in, because otherwise your eyeliner is going to run, and then you're going to get on stage, and then you're going to be all gloopy. So Danny, congratulations, wherever you are. I think he's somewhere backstage getting changed. That was an absolute beautiful moment. And if you're sitting there and you want to get baptized too, maybe it's something that you've been thinking about, or you want to find out more about that, then you can head outside to the connection desk and give your name and some contact details there, and someone from The Rocks will get back to you with that. Okay, so this morning, before I forget, let me add another welcome. If you're joining us on YouTube or you're one of our podcast listeners, we want to say a very special welcome to you. Wherever in the world you are, welcome. We're so glad that you could tune in. Okay, well, this morning, we are continuing in a series that we started a few weeks ago called A New You Resolution, as you can see from the screen behind me. And I know that we're already a few weeks into the new year, so maybe you've already made some New Year's resolutions. Maybe you've written some goals that you want to achieve by the end of the year. Well, this series is designed to help us to start 2018 strong. So to get to the end of 2018 and to not just do better, but to be better, to be more the people that we were created to be and in fact desire to be. So Pastor Daniel preached an amazing sermon 2 weeks ago, and he gave us this principle. He said, it's a mistake to decide what you want to accomplish before you decide who you want to be. So in other words, don't decide what you want to do before you decide who you want to be. And then Pastor John did such a great job following up from that sermon last week, and he was asking the question, who is in control of your life? Who is calling the shots? Who's in control? And his reason was this. He said, whoever's in control of your life, once you decide who is in control of your life, that will alter your perspective on the things that happen to you. Yep, next slide on. Amazing. And once you alter your perspective about your life and the things that happen to you, well, that can help you delete some unhealthy and destructive behaviors from your life. So I thought this was really smart. Control, Alt, Delete on a keyboard, it kind of reboots the system. And that's essentially what we can do this year to get to a new you. And this morning, I'm concluding this series by asking one more question. And here's the question. What is in my control? So we asked, who do you want to be? We asked, who is in control of your life? And this morning we're asking the question, what is in my control? Because you see, once you decide who you want to be, and then you decide who is in control of your life, the right answer to that, by the way, is God. Say, God's in control of your life, then what happens? Then do we just kind of sit back, relax, and expect God to wave this magic wand and poof, December 2018, we're all new people? Well, no, because it doesn't quite work like that. You see, you and I, we have a really active part to play in this whole process. And so this morning, I want to look at a tool that we can use to get to the end of the year and achieve all the things we want to achieve and be all the things we want to be. And this tool we're going to look at this morning is called boundaries. And this morning, I want to talk to us for the rest of our time about the blessing in boundary. The blessing in boundary. But before we go any further, would you pray with me? Father God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the power in your word. Thank you that these aren't just words on a page, but these words are alive and they help to guide us, to shape us, to mold us. And ultimately, Father, they point back to your son, Jesus. And today, as we sit here this morning, Father, I pray that your word would accomplish the word for which it was sent. And God, that you would help to shape us, mold us, and that we would go from here looking to your son, Jesus, in everything that we do. And everyone said, amen. Amazing. Now, I don't know if you've heard this saying before. It goes a little something like this. It says, why choose or when you can choose and? Why choose or when you can choose and? Now, don't worry, if you've never heard this saying before, that's totally fine. I've got a very pictorial illustration that's going to sum up this statement perfectly. It's going to appear on the screen right now. There you go. That's it. Why choose or when you can choose and? This used to be my motto for ordering food. I'm a reformed person now, by the way. Some of you are looking at me in disgust. I don't do this anymore. But this used to be my motto when ordering food. Why have one dessert, right, Chloe, when you can have three? Why? Why would you put that boundary? Why would you impose that boundary on yourself and deprive yourself, limit yourself, restrict yourself? Why would you do that? Am I right? No, I'm not right. Come on, people. Don't worry. By the end of today, you will understand that actually or, there's something blessed about or. That we don't always have to live in the space that is and. You see, when we think about boundaries, we often think that they're negative things, that they're things that limit us, that they're things that restrict us, that deprive us. And boundaries are really defined as things that divide one thing from another. They mark where one thing ends and where another begins. It's called a limit. It's called a border. It's called a restrictor. And we encounter boundaries everywhere in our lives. So if you think about your house, you've got physical boundaries like gates and walls. Or if you think about maybe parenting your kids, you've put some boundaries in place where you say to tell little Mickey that he has to go to bed by 10 on a school night. That's a boundary that you've enforced. We have boundaries in our language. Whenever we say yes or no, we're imposing a boundary. Boundaries are everywhere. And boundaries are things that limit us, that we have put in place, or that we have submitted to in our lives. And like I said, we can often view boundaries negatively because they deprive us. But this morning, I want to tell us that we can explore boundaries from a different perspective. That I have discovered that putting godly boundaries in place in the right way actually leads to life and not deprivation. Actually, it leads to God, not turning away from God. So that's what we're going to look at this morning. Okay, and that means that if we put some boundaries in place right at the start of 2018, it means that we give ourselves the best possible chance of getting to the end of 2018 and achieving all those things that we wrote down at the start of the year, and all those things we said that we wanted to be. Okay, so where do we start? Well, this morning, we're going to start right at the beginning of the Bible. And we're going to look at some boundaries, two types of boundaries that God put in place first of all. So we're going to go to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis is the first book of the Bible, by the way. And right at the beginning, chapter 1, verse 1, we see God putting in some physical boundaries. And the scriptures will come up on the screen. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he created a boundary. He separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. God put some physical boundaries in place, and he goes on to separate the waters, and he calls it sea and sky, and then he separates the sea from the land. He put physical boundaries in place, physical boundaries that limit and define one thing from another. Now, would any of us complain about these boundaries? Well, I think not, because, you see, these boundaries, they're essential to our survival. Light and darkness, night and day, sea and sky. These things are essential to our survival. So, as in the natural, so in the spiritual. What I've found is that physical boundaries are amazing, but actually there are another kind of boundary that we need to put in place, that we need to think about, called spiritual boundaries that are equally important. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4, it says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." Above all else, guard your heart, for everything that you do flows from it. Now, I don't know about you, but often I find in my own life, even though the Bible says more than anything else, above everything else, guard your heart, I'm better at guarding my house than I am at guarding my heart. I'm usually better at guarding my house than I am at guarding my heart. You see, guarding my heart requires me abiding by some spiritual boundaries that God has put in place. But you see, here's the thing. The thing is that as humanity, we've always struggled with these kinds of boundaries, right from the very beginning. Because you see, these spiritual boundaries are the things that we think deprive us. These spiritual boundaries are the things that we think limit us, restrict us. But we see God putting in the first spiritual boundary all the way back in the book of Genesis. So in Genesis chapter 3, we see that God has created the world. He's put some physical boundaries in place. And then he's created man and woman, Adam and Eve. And he's given them this entire garden and Garden of Eden. And it was paradise. And he told them to rule the creatures, to inhabit the land, to multiply, to prosper. But there was only one rule. He put one boundary in place. And the boundary was this. He said, you can't eat the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden. Just one boundary. And it was because this. See, the tree that was in the middle of the garden was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and he was trying to protect their innocence. Adam and Eve had no idea about good and evil at the time, and he never wanted them to have to make that choice. But he put the boundary in place, and he gave them the choice to either submit to the boundary or cross the boundary. And here's what happened. So we join the story in Genesis chapter 3. And it says in verse 1, now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, well, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that's in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die. You will not certainly die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. So what happened? Adam and Eve, or Eve, made the choice to cross the line. They made the choice to subvert God's spiritual boundary. You see, there's something about us as humanity that always wants to play God. There's something about us as humans that always wants to be God. Now, we might not say that out loud. We might never admit that. But actually, if you look at our actions, if you look at every single time we cross one of God's boundaries, every single time we do something that we know we shouldn't, that's essentially what we're saying. We're saying we know better than God. And just like for Eve in that situation, Eve thought that this spiritual boundary was depriving her of something. Eve thought that this spiritual boundary that God had put in place, that God was withholding something good from her. But how wrong she was, and how wrong we often are. You see, God's spiritual boundary was to protect them and to protect us. But instead, because that spiritual boundary was crossed, now sin has entered the world. And we live in a world that God never intended for us. Now sin and suffering and death and pain and loss and grief, all things that God never originally designed for us, are now part of our world. But before we point the finger at Eve and say, well, Eve, you should have known better, girl. Before we do that, let's stop and take a minute to look at our own lives. What about you and me this morning? What about all the times we crossed those spiritual boundaries in our own lives? Pastor John, he used an illustration last week of a stool, and he said, who's sitting on the stool and calling the shots in your life? Who is in control, really? Who is in control? Is it God? Or am I kind of one-cheeking it with God? Or have we toppled God off the stool completely, and have I taken up residence, calling all the shots, being in charge? You see, it's really important for God to be number one, for God to be where he should be. Because you see, whatever plans we lay for this year, whatever goals we want to achieve, whoever we want to be, it will only happen if we have God as the center of our lives. If God is in control, if God is calling all the shots, if we mess up that order, all the things that we have planned, well, they don't quite work out like we have planned. It's important for us to go into 2018 knowing that we're in the right place. So what is the right place? The right place is God first, you and me second. God on the stool, me not on the stool. God in charge, not me in charge. Because you see, the Bible says many are the plans of a man's heart, but it's the Lord that determines his steps. We need to make sure that we keep the main thing, the main thing. And how do we do that? Well, we do that by putting some spiritual boundaries in place that guard our hearts. We put some spiritual boundaries in place that guard our hearts. And I want to talk about two types of spiritual boundaries really quickly. The first type is spiritual boundaries that keep sin out and spiritual boundaries that keep God in. Okay, so let's look at the first kind. Spiritual boundaries that keep sin out. Now, these are lines and limits that God puts in place to keep sin away from our heart and sin away from our lives. Now, this is really important because if you think about guarding your heart has the connotation of building up some walls. Now, I don't mean this in a negative sense, but there are some things we need to protect ourselves against. There are some things that we need to make sure don't have a chance of entering our heart, and sin is one of those things. Let me tell you something about sin. Sin takes you further than you want to go, and it keeps you longer than you want to stay. Sin takes you further than you want to go and keeps you longer than you want to stay. You see, Eve, in that situation, what was she trying to do? All she was trying to do was not miss out on something that she thought God was withholding from her. She just wanted a piece of whatever that was. But you see, she didn't realize that her simple action that day meant that there were eternal consequences, that there were consequences far greater than she could have imagined, and maybe far greater than she could have even desired. And that those consequences and the impact of those consequences were not just temporal, they were not just temporary, but they were eternal. Every time we cross a spiritual boundary, a boundary that God has put in place, you know that there's a reason for every boundary God puts in place? And usually you know what that reason is? Love. The reason for God's boundaries are that he's trying to keep us in the bounds of his love. And if we trust the heart of God, if we trust the Father heart of God, then what do? We stay within those boundaries so that we can stay within his love. So what about you and I this morning? What kind of spiritual boundaries do we need to put in place to keep sin out, to keep sin far away from our hearts and far away from our lives? Well, I want to give you the example of a spiritual boundary that I put in place this year and most every year. And this is a financial spiritual boundary. So let me tell you a little bit about myself. I like nice things. You know, it's as simple as that. I just like nice things. I like nice food, as you can probably tell. I like nice clothes. I like nice shoes. I like nice holidays. I just like nice things. And is there anything wrong with that? No. However, who knows that if I'm not careful, that if I don't put some boundaries in place, that very soon, without maybe even me realizing it, I'm going to replace my love for God with a love for stuff, and maybe with a love for money because it can get me that stuff. So what's the solution then? Do I deny myself all the things that I actually really like and pretend I don't like them? Well, I mean, you could do, but that seems a little bit silly to me. Okay, so what's another solution? Oh, I know. Maybe I just make sure that I am poor and destitute all the time so that I have no chance of ever having an attachment to money. Does that seem pretty practical? No, again, not so much, not to me. So what's the solution then? Well, for me, I like to put some spiritual boundaries in place to make sure that my heart's attachment is to God and nothing else is crowding that attachment and nothing else is crowding that love I have for God. So you see, what are we saying here? Are we saying that money is bad? Are we saying that money is sin? Well, no, because the Bible is really clear. Here's what the Bible says, 1 Timothy 6, verse 10. It says, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. So a lot of people think that every time we talk about money, the Bible says that money is bad. No, money in itself has no power. It's our attachment to money. It's our handling of money. It's our relationship with money. It's our perspective of money that gives it its power. So by all means, have all the money in the world, just don't love God in place of loving money. Or just don't love money in place of loving God, rather. As Christians, I believe that God wants to bless our finances. Of course he does. He doesn't want us to starve. He doesn't want us to go without. Now, does that mean that we're going to have money for days, all the days of our life? No. Just as life happens in every other area of our lives, sometimes we go through seasons of struggle in our finances. Does that mean God stopped blessing you? No, not at all. And do I believe that God's going to come through for you and me in our finances? 100%. But, we have a part to play in all that. You see, we don't get to live outside God's boundaries and expect his blessings. We don't get to live outside of God's boundaries and expect his blessings. Why? Because the blessing is in the boundary. The blessing is contained within the boundary. Do you know that budgeting is a boundary with a blessing attached to it? Because the Bible talks about being good stewards of what we've been given. Budgeting is a boundary with blessing attached to it. You know, when you sit down at the start of the year and you decide, okay, well, this is what we've got coming in, here's our expenses, this is what we've got going out, and you decide how much you give, how much you spend, and how much you save. Budgeting is a boundary with a blessing attached to it. Do you know that tithing is a boundary with a blessing attached to it? When you decide to put God first in every single area of your life, you make that a habit of your heart that God comes first in every area, including our finances. Tithing is a boundary with a blessing attached to it. Do you know that generosity is a boundary with a blessing attached to it? The Bible says, be generous on every occasion. Generosity is a boundary with a blessing attached to it. And you know, when you sit down, Dev and I sit down and at the start of the year and we work out every month how much of our income, how much of our finance we give away, how much we give, what percentage we give to church, how much we give to kingdom builders, how much we give to other causes and charities that we champion, causes that are close to our heart. And then we put some money aside every month as a generosity fund so that we can look for opportunities to bless people. Now, some people think that generosity is just a spontaneous act that just kind of happens from time to time on a whim. And I completely disagree with that, and here's why. If we wait to be generous, if we wait for generosity to come and find us, we could be waiting for a very long time. And then when the opportunity does come, we're not going to have the finances to be able to be generous with it because we've not planned for it. So I'm a huge advocate of planning to be generous. If you want to be generous, if you want to get to 2018 and you want to have a generous spirit and a generous heart, plan it in. Put it into your budget. Make it a way of life. Now, what am I saying? Am I saying that we get these things right all the time? Not at all. I get it more wrong than I do right often. However, we're trying. Why? Because the desire of our heart is to honor God. The desire of my heart is to honor God in every area of my life. So what is the sin that we're trying to keep out? Is it money? No, not at all. It's the love of money. It's when money starts to control you and consume you. It's when you put your faith and your trust and your security in money rather than in God. It's when you don't feel like you can part with it even when you know that you can be generous. That's when money and finance come outside the blessing of God. But when you keep it in God's boundaries, it can be blessed. And you, in turn, can be a blessing to the people around you. This is what it says in 1 Timothy 6, verse 17. It says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, not to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. What does Paul say? Is Paul saying, hey guys, don't be rich, don't earn any money? No, he's not saying that. He's saying, those of you who have money, make sure that you're not putting your hope in the wrong thing. Don't put your hope in your wealth, but instead put your hope in God. He is your eternal security and your eternal provider. And more than that, and as much as that, don't just hoard everything and keep it to yourself. Make sure that you're rich in good deeds. Share what you have. Be generous on all occasions. Money isn't bad. The love of money is. And there's a very big distinction. Now, this could help some people in the room today. It might not be applicable to everybody, but maybe the principle of it is. And it's something that I decided to do a few years ago, to put a boundary, a spiritual boundary around my heart, to guard my heart against the love of money. Now, I've already told you that I really like nice things, and sometimes I save up and I get some things that I really love, and I absolutely love. Maybe it's a nice handbag, or maybe it's a pair of shoes, or maybe it's a pair of earrings, or whatever that could be. It's something that I really love. And from time to time, I give one of those things away. Sometimes I'm prompted by the Holy Spirit to do so, and sometimes I'm not. Sometimes I do that just because I have put a personal spiritual boundary in place around my heart to make sure I guard against the love of money and the love of stuff. Now, what am I saying? Am I saying go home and give away all the things that you love? No, not at all. But for me, it's important that I know that that thing that I love, that coat, that jacket, that pair of shoes, that handbag, it's just a thing. It's just stuff. So do I absolutely love it? Yeah, 100%. Do I appreciate the value of it? Yes, definitely. Can I live without it? Yes, I should be able to. And me putting that boundary around my heart means that I never run the risk of that thing owning me instead of me owning the thing. That spiritual boundary ensures that I own the thing and the thing doesn't own me. Now, I don't know what that looks like for you in your life. It could be anything. What is that thing? What is the it in your life? But can I encourage us this morning to place a boundary around whatever that thing is around your heart to make sure that you own it, whatever it is for you, and it doesn't own you. Wonderful. Well, I don't have time to go into all of the spiritual boundaries that we could put in place, but I know that God's fences, they keep us in the bounds of his blessings. And I want to make sure that I do everything in my power to stay within those fences. And I don't know what that could look like for you this morning. Maybe it's a boundary of thought. You know, the Bible says, take every thought captive for Christ. Maybe it's a boundary of words. The Bible says, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Or maybe it's a boundary around self-control or discipline or pride or whatever that looks like for you. Can I encourage us this morning? Be honest with yourself. Let's put some spiritual boundaries right at the start of 2018 that makes sure that we get to the end of this year and we've given ourselves the best chance to be the people that we want to be. And let me end with this. So this is the second type of boundary, and it's the boundary that keeps God in. And this isn't about taking something out, but rather about growing something that's already inside. Now, I don't have time to go into all the details of this, but maybe for you this year, you want to grow something that's already inside your heart. So maybe you put a boundary around it. Maybe it's a boundary of praise. So maybe you decide that this year, regardless of whatever happens in your life, regardless of what situations, what circumstance, you are going to stand, you're going to lift your eyes up from your circumstance, up to heaven, and you are going to praise God all the time. Psalm 34 says, I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be on my lips. Maybe that's going to be you this year. Maybe that's a decision that you're going to make. Maybe that's your new you resolution. Okay, what about a boundary of faith? 1 Corinthians 16 says, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be strong and be courageous. Maybe that's a decision. Maybe that's a boundary you're going to put in your life, a boundary of faith, to stand firm in the faith, to take what you know about God. You take His faithfulness, you take His goodness, you take what you know about God and you put that into every season of your life. Okay, but what? Sometimes, you know, I don't feel full of faith. I don't feel so inspired. I don't feel so full of faith. So what do I do then? Well, do you know something? You can speak yourself into faith. You can speak some faith into your life. You can take the Bible, you can open up a scripture that means something to you, and you can start declaring it over your situation. You can start declaring it over your heart, over your feelings. You can take Psalm 23. That's my favorite one. The Lord is my shepherd. There is nothing I shall want. He leads me beside still waters. He makes me lie down beside green pastures. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, not maybe, surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Come on, somebody. This morning, you can speak faith to yourself. You can speak your faith to your feelings. You can speak faith to your situations. We don't have to be passive about this. We can be active. We can take some control and speak faith. What about a boundary of love? What if you decided this year? You know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13 that, and these three things remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. What if you decided this year that every word that was going to come out of your mouth, every action that you were going to do is going to be rooted and founded and based in love? What kind of year will you have? There are some spiritual boundaries that we can put in place that's going to grow some things that are already in our hearts. And what's going to happen then? Those embers, those sparks in your heart, they'll get larger, they'll get bigger, and you'll get to the end of the year and you'll look back and you'll realize you're more full of faith, more full of love, more full of gratitude, more full of praise than you ever were before. Why? Because you've put some spiritual boundaries in place right at the start of the year, which gives you the best possible chance to do all the things that you want to do and to be the person that you want to be. So, what is it for you this morning? What kind of boundary, what kind of spiritual boundary do you need to put in place to make sure that you're keeping God within your heart, to make sure that you're keeping God on the stool, to make sure that you're keeping God in charge? What does that look like for you this morning? Maybe we need to be honest with ourselves. Maybe we need to be honest with a friend and say, listen, I want you to hold me accountable. I'm going to put these things in place this year. And I'm going to trust God that as I do my bit, He will work and do what only He can do. And we've come to the end of our time together. But I hope that as we go from this place this morning, that we realize that God's boundaries aren't there to deprive us. They're not there to limit us or restrict us. In fact, godly boundaries, they lead us to life. And they lead us to freedom from the things that would otherwise bind us. And they lead us to God. Now, we've talked a lot about boundaries and limits and borders and restrictions this morning. But I want to tell you about one thing that has no boundaries. One thing that's never had any conditions. One thing that has no limits, one thing that has no restrictions, one thing that doesn't end, one thing that is everlasting, and that is the love of God. See, unchanging, uncontrollable, reckless, never-ending love of God that we sang about earlier. And I don't know where you've come here from. I don't know what your story is. I don't know what mistakes you've made. Maybe you've not made any mistakes at all, but I do know this. You know, there's a slogan in our church, and it says, no perfect people allowed. And do you know why that is? It's because all of us, whether you see us here or there or wherever we are, we're all a group of imperfect people. If you think everybody here has their lives together and all their ducks in a row and you need to be sorted before you can come here, well, you're wrong. We're a group of imperfect people. We all fall short of the mark of God. But do you know what's happened? What's happened is somewhere along the line, we encountered a love that was so life-changing. We encountered a grace that was so incredible that it caused something inside of us to change. And we've encountered a God who loves us so much that it hardly seems real, but it is. And it seems too good to be true, but it isn't. And this God, He's here and He's real and He's present with us this morning. And if you've never experienced or encountered this incredible, boundaryless, limitless, reckless love of a God that's known you since the foundation of time, and He created every part of you, and He knows you so intimately, and He longs for you to know Him this morning. Well, I'm going to give you an opportunity to just do that in just a few moments. But right now, I just want to ask us all, if we're here, just to bow our heads and close our eyes. And this just means that we give people a moment of privacy. And in just a few moments, all I'm going to ask you to do is, if that's you, just to raise your hand where you are, and then I'll just ask you to put that hand right back down. And nothing magical happens in this moment. It's just that it's a physical representation of something spiritual that's going on inside. You don't have to be good enough. You don't have to have done certain things. You just need to come as you are. Because this Father, He's waiting with arms that are wide open, longing to have a relationship with you, a real relationship with you. He's not just a pie in the sky God, but He's a real God. And He longs to know you and for you to know Him. So with every head bowed and every eye closed all across this place, I'm going to count to three. And on three, if that's you this morning, I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand where you are. And you may have done this 5, 10, 20 times before, but I want you to know this morning that no one is too lost, no one is too far, and there's always a second chance. There's always another chance in God. So maybe you want to recommit your life back to God. You walked with Him once, but you know that your relationship with Him is not where you would like it to be. Well, you have an opportunity today as well. So maybe for the first time, or maybe for the second or third or fourth time, right at the start of 2018, you want to commit, place a boundary around your heart of faith. Maybe that's your new you resolution, a relationship with a God that is unimaginably in love with you. So one, is there anyone here in this place, with every head bowed and every eye closed, who wants to say, yes, I want to know the love of this Father? Two, is there anyone that wants to say, yes, I want a relationship with God? I want Him to know me and I want to know Him. I want a chance at new life. Three, if that's you, you can just raise your hand where you are. Amazing. Wonderful. I see those hands. Wonderful. You can put your hands back down. That's wonderful. Amazing. Is there anyone else who wants to join these incredible people and say, do you know what? Right at the start of this year, I want to commit my life to God. I want to have a relationship with Him. Wonderful. Amazing. Amazing. You can put your hands back down. Thank you. Fantastic. Hey, we're going to pray right now. And if you responded this morning, if you raised your hand, then I want you to pray like this is just between you and God. But here at The Rocks, we're family. So we're going to all pray this prayer together. So you can repeat this after me. Father God, thank you for sending Jesus to die on a cross for my sin. I receive your forgiveness. I receive new life. And I receive a relationship to know you and to be known by you. Help me to live out this new life in you. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more great resources and to keep yourself up to date, head to our website. Visit therocks.church.